Oh God, let us give thanks for your word, which inspires us and fills us and guides us. We thank you that your word is powerful and it blesses us. So may we continue to receive the goodness of your word that would be helpful and useful and of benefit to many. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, Marlou and I saw the movie The Butler. Have any of you seen it? Some of you have. It's a story brought by Lee Daniels. It's a story of Cecil Gaines and his son Louis Gaines. The movie is loosely based on the true story of Eugene Allen's life, who was a butler in the White House. According to the movie, Cecil's beginnings are in Macon, Georgia, where he is a slave on a plantation. After his father is murdered, he leaves and he makes his way, finding a place to start, and he winds up in Virginia and makes his way to getting a job at the White House as a butler. Now, the movie parallels his life, but also his son's life, and his son's life is the part that's kind of embellished and parts of it made up for dramatic effect. But nevertheless, the comparison and the contrast between father and son is very interesting. So first we take the butler, who is proper and peaceful and not political. He sees his role and his station in life as a servant, a quiet servant, a non-intrusive servant. Minds his own business, he's soft-spoken. He doesn't express his opinion unless he is asked. And even when he is asked about the racial tensions that are going on in the country, he tries to be as neutral as possible. Part of the true story, what is amazing, is his service in the White House for 34 years, and it spans 8 presidents, the last being Ronald Reagan. So we look at his life, and then we shift over to his son, who is the opposite of him. His son, Louis, is an activist, and Louis goes to college in Tennessee. He participates in sit-ins, civil rights marches, and rides the Freedom Bus, joins the Black Panther for a short time, and then fights for civil rights and doesn't shy away from racism and speaks out against apartheid. He embraces the teachings of Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. for a short time, Malcolm X, and then Mandela. But again, I said the part about his son is made up, but fascinating as they compare the two. If you look at their lives, the butler was closer to living the Beatitudes than his son, being poor in spirit, being meek and merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, whereas his son embodied the part of the Sermon on the Mount that talked about hunger and thirsting for righteousness or being willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is the Sermon on the Mount really about anyway? Many of us, when we read chapter 5, we think about a devotional guide a way or a key to a happy life. But if we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking more about a program, about a plan for ministry, a programmatic theme, which is blessing. The Greek word used in the translation is sometimes translated into the word happy, but the closer meaning is blessing. When we translate the word into happy, it can be misunderstood as the emotion of happiness. We know that happiness is very elusive, and the emotion of happiness is like the weather. We are happy, we are sunshiny in one moment, but gloomy and cloudy in the next. It's like the weather that is shifting. It is so unpredictable and uncontrollable. At one moment, we're bright and beautiful, and the next moment we're dark and gloomy. One point we're calm and peaceful, then we turn to anger and violence. And so the language and imagery doesn't refer to our emotional state of mind or being. But what Jesus is talking about has more to do with making a declaration, an orientation towards God's ways, towards God's kingdom. It has to do with our intentions and our actions. We make up our minds about blessing. And it has these ethical dimensions and a whole lifestyle of doing and being and living every day. Jesus is encouraging us to live a life that is decisive, that is prescriptive and instructive in the ways of blessing. Like I said, many of us, though, tend to read it like it is an individual devotion. But it shouldn't be about me, or it shouldn't be about one person, but it's a community pronouncement. It's a group mission and vision to be lived out as a circle of disciples. Being a follower and a disciple of Jesus is not solitary. We don't go about it alone, but with accountability, with interconnectivity. The blessings are to be shared in community and in communion with one another. There is this interdependence, this mutual and reciprocal energy that gets shared and passed back and forth. And it's like a blessing that travels and moves and weaves through the circle and the chain and the connecting parts. A couple of months ago, I was talking about the cycle of blessing, and it's this circle here. I learned it at a workshop that I was at, and Eric Law was talking about it. Now, if you look at the very core, there's a cycle of blessing, but around the core, there are parts of this outer ring. Let me review it. There's a currency of time and place. There's a currency of leadership, there's a currency of relationship, there's a currency of truth, currency of wellness, and the currency of money. As we live this out, and as we live this out as a church, there's the internal blessing, but the outer blessing. And as we live each of those parts around the ring, it creates and feeds into more and more blessings. So as Jesus was setting up this plan and program to spread the good news, it was a plan for internal and external blessing. It's a programmatic theme that becomes our plan and programmatic theme. It's a model that we can use to increase and improve. Now you say, well, how are we living this out? And I can give you a solid example of how we're living out this model. When I was at the last outreach lunch, I witnessed blessings all around, internal and external. One of our church members told me that they counted 120 people who were fed, people who are from the local and surrounding area. I remember talking to this one person who was at the outreach lunch, and he said that he was homeless. He was sleeping on the streets in Redondo Beach, and he came for our meal. There's another person who for years has been coming to the outreach lunch, and he's from Hollywood, and he catches a bus. It's an all-day event for him. The ages and the ethnicities were diverse. Toddlers, grandparent types, everybody in between. There are Anglo people, there are African American people, there are Hispanic, Filipino, and others. It looked like a cross-section of the kingdom of God. And these 100 or so people were being blessed by us. What were we offering them? We were offering them the currency of time and place, if you look at that orange section there. Every fourth Saturday of the month, we open up our social hall, a time and a place for people to come. The consistent currency, where it costs guests nothing. It's free, it's God's grace, it's good food. But as I was talking to the member, he also said there were some 50 volunteers who were there. 10 of them were college nursing students from El Camino. We don't have too many college students in our congregation, but this is one way that we interface with them. We had longtime members. We had new members. We had youth and middle age and kids and seniors helping. All the workers and servers blessing others, but by blessing and serving others, they themselves were being blessed. Why? Being able to share and give and help is a blessing. Then I talked to Kathy about the food donations. Now, we get a lot of food donations from each of us, but we also get donations from grocery stores, Torrance Bakery, and this past time from a pizza business and even a shoe company. So the donors are blessing others, but they are feeling blessed because they can share and give and help. At the end of last year, we received a surprise donation of $1,500 from someone who is related to one of our church members. And they were sharing the currency of money. So if we look back at the Holy Currency Ring, it's simply an outreach lunch. But we're sharing the currency of time and place, the currency of wellness, if you look at the blue on the bottom, for food and sustenance, and the currency of relationship, the yellow. Some folks come to eat not because they're homeless, not because they can't afford to buy lunch, but they sometimes come because they don't like to be alone. They're looking for community and relationship, which we offer. The peace and the harmony and the tranquility. So over the next several Sundays, I will continue to talk about this image of how we are living this out. The blessing that Jesus is talking about, the currencies and the opportunities that we can explore to continue to increase and improve our church so that others may be a blessing and others may experience blessing and we multiply the blessings all around, the internal and the external, the inward and outward to the community and beyond. And so we are guided by blessings, God's blessings, so that others may be invited in and experience that same blessings of the kingdom of God, the fullness and abundant living. Amen.